This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Brothers and sisters, when corrupt people are in charge, when corrupt people have power, they tend to abuse it. We know this from our own tradition. We've seen the story of Musa and Fir'aun. When Fir'aun had absolute power to the point where the people in his area thought that he was actually a god, thought that he could actually bring down the rain and make the Nile River overflow and bring abundance to them, that then he was capable of all sorts of evil and oppression, enslaving Bani Israel, murdering their children, and so on and so forth. If evil people are in power, or corrupt people are in power, then they will abuse it. I'd like to tell you a couple stories about when I was a young man, and they actually relate to, well, maybe I'm still a young man, but when I was a younger man, and as they relate to some developments that are happening right here in our own community in the wake of the aggression and the escalation and the occupation of our brothers and sisters in Gaza and Palestine. When I was a teenager, when I was in high school, the 9/11 happened. And shortly after 9/11 was the invasion of the Iraq war just 2 years later. Now at that time, I was somebody who tried to educate myself and tried to understand. And I quickly came to the conclusion that the foreign policy of this nation was mistaken. That when we were, and this was long before I accepted Islam, that this was an error, this was a moral mistake, that we were on the wrong side of history. And so I made a decision even with the limited ability that I had as just a teenager, to try to take a stand and try to speak up and try to do what I could. So the first thing that I did was I stopped standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. You know that in public school every day, they make you in homeroom stand up and say the Pledge of Allegiance, I pledge allegiance to the flag, United States of America, etc., etc. And I was in a town that was so conservative that the homeroom teacher, every single day after we had finished the Pledge of Allegiance, he would raise his fist in the air and he would say, love it or leave it, every single day. So you can imagine the reaction that he had when I decided that I was no longer going to stand for this, which is a constitutional right, by the way. Why I'm telling the story is because the individual teacher in that circumstance, in that scenario, tried to do whatever he could to punish me. He tried to use his power and his position of authority to try to silence me, to try to get me in trouble. Alhamdulillah, I had some other people in the school that were much more sympathetic and they were able to intervene on my behalf. Fast forward another year or two, I'm a sophomore, I'm a junior. And our school, this is a common thing in public schools, by the way, I'm not sure if they do it in Utica, was to allow different branches of the armed forces to come in and run gym class. So they would have the army sometimes come in and everybody would do push-ups, or they would have the Marines come in and we'd do jumping jacks and this sort of thing. And it was money for the school and it was easy recruitment for the armed forces. Now this is during the invasion of Iraq and something that I morally opposed. And so I decided again, with my limited ability to do anything, as just a teenager who wasn't even able to drive yet, I said, I'm going to try to speak up and not participate in this gym class. So I would actually sit on the side when the armed forces were running the gym classes, and I said, I refuse to participate. And again, there were people in positions of authority that tried to punish me. The gym teachers, they tried to give me zeros, they tried to fail me. It went all the way up to the level of the superintendent. Thankfully, the superintendent at that time was a very reasonable man. He listened to my side of the story and he intervened on my behalf. But sure enough, I wouldn't escape high school unscathed, because people, when they're corrupt and they have power, they will attempt to punish you. They will attempt to abuse their power to use it against you in whatever way they can. One day, once I was able to drive, I had a license, I used to bring my lunch to school every day in a brown paper bag. I would make it in the morning and bring it with me. One day I forgot it at home. And so I thought, you know, rather than just go hungry, no one will notice, I'll leave out the door. I'll hop in my car. I'll drive home. I'll grab it. I had left it right on the kitchen table. And I'll come back and nothing will be a problem. Now, this is after the incidents of Columbine and mass shootings started happening. And so schools, they were changing their policies. And so one of the policies that they changed was they started forbidding students from leaving the grounds of the school during the school day and locking the doors during the day and all these sorts of safety precautions. So how did I get around this? I was a teenage boy, and you know how teenage boys think. I took something like a rock or something like that, and I propped one of the doors open, and I went, right? And then I came back, and I thought that I had done it and gotten away with it, and that was fine. Sure enough, the same teachers and administrators that were angry at me for my previous stances, they found this as a pretext and an excuse to finally punish me with something. I ended up being suspended from school for a week for propping a door open with a rock, because this is how they could exercise their power over me. They would use their position of authority to try to silence me, to try to punish me, to try to do something against me. So this is what your kids are up against in school. I have to let you know, because there's been some developments in our community that you should be aware of. And every time something like this happens, the escalation in Philistine by the aggressive, oppressive, criminal Zionist regime, with back in 2015, it was Daesh, it was ISIS. Back in 9/11, obviously, in the invasion of the Iraq war, the people get up on the news and they have inflammatory rhetoric and use inflammatory language against Muslims. And it makes its way into the classroom. It makes its way to your child's teacher's ears, and it ends up hurting our children. It happens time and time and time again. A year or two ago, it happened in this community. There was a family. They reached out to me, not in Utica proper, but in the surrounding areas. There was a young man who was in a classroom, and this particular teacher that he had in his class would always bring up news events or current events that portrayed Arabs and Muslims in a bad light. So if there was any sort of situation that happened in the world where an act of violence was committed by a Muslim or by an Arab, they would actually bring it up in class. I should say she, it was a woman, she would bring it up in class, and she would remind the students in the class. She said, everybody has to keep your eyes peeled. Look out, they can be among us. Now there's only one Arab Muslim in the class, this particular class, and I want you to think for a second how this makes that individual feel and how it deputizes everybody around them to now be on the lookout for something, or in this case, nothing. Fast forward, what happened with this young man? This young man was viewing a TikTok, right? And it was a common one that was going on. It was in Arabic, where a student, you know, the roofs of the schools where you can push up sort of the tiles, they hit a Bluetooth speaker in the ceiling of the classroom, and then it was sort of a prank, because then it would play music whenever they wanted to and the teacher couldn't figure out what was going on. So he showed this TikTok to one of his classmates, clearly trying to be funny and impress them. And they asked him, like, what is that? Is that a bomb? And English is not his first language. And so he's in this position where he wants to impress these people, and he says yes. That young man had the book thrown at him. This is right here in central New York, in the Mohawk Valley. He was suspended 4 months, 4 months from school. And by the time the family reached out to me, the hearing had already happened. It had already exhausted the time when we could have appealed anything. So you can see again how teachers, people who are corrupt, if they have power, they will attempt to use it against people. And you can bet that the teacher was the star witness, the person who was inciting her own students to turn against this Muslim young man, to turn against this Arab young man, that she was instrumental in the punishment of this young man for doing something, in this case, doing nothing. Recently, in the last week, we have reports that 4 Muslim students have been suspended from the Utica School District for objecting to teachers flying Israeli flags in their classrooms and for voicing their support of the Palestinian struggle. And you can bet that in their write-ups that they're not saying that they're punishing them for their pro-Palestinian stances. You can bet that they're finding an excuse, like propping open a door in my case, or some sort of attendance issue, or some sort of insolence issue or talking back issue or disrespect of authority issue. Brothers and sisters, we have to wake up. Brothers and sisters, we have to start paying attention. Brothers and sisters, we have to start organizing ourselves. They will do this and they will keep doing this every time there's an escalation until we organize ourselves and push back and say enough is enough. Enough with targeting our children. Enough with targeting our young men and our young ladies. That every single person in this country has a right to speak their mind and to voice their political positions. And in a school, the teachers do not have a right to voice their political opinions. But we have to be aware that there is Islamophobia, there is bigotry, there is prejudice, there is hatred in our schools, our teachers, the people who are teaching our young men and women. And so we have to draw together and we have to come together in order to do whatever we have to do, write letters, emails, phone calls. When you see somebody out in the street, they're from the school board or from the city hall or they're the mayor. We're not letting the mayor come in here anymore and just take pictures. This is wrong. We have to challenge these people and say, what are you going to do about our young men and women? How are you going to protect our young men and women from these people who are in power and abusing their power and abusing their authority? I'm going to mention a couple things that have happened in the last week or two as examples of Muslims finally waking up and coming together and doing whatever they can to stop this type of oppression. Recently, President Biden made a trip to Minnesota. And Minnesota, as you know, in the Twin Cities, they have a large Muslim population. Well, they put their foot down and they said that there is absolutely no support for the Biden administration if there is not a ceasefire right now in Gaza. And this is something that was an embarrassment to President Biden. He went to three places, he was heckled, he was shouted at wherever he went. People were peaceful, alhamdulillah, but they made their position known that we are not an automatic vote. We are not an automatic support. We are not a prop in your photos or your PR. That we care about certain things and we have to be represented. And if you are not accountable to us, then don't come around the masjid. Then don't come for the dinners. Then don't come for the PR. We're done. We're tired of that. In New Jersey, I think today or yesterday, 55 masajid. This is what it's going to take. Think about it. 55 masajid organized together to release a joint statement to their representatives of all levels, the Senate, the Congress, the mayors, etc. These 55 masajid represent hundreds of thousands of Muslims in the state, New Jersey, that has the highest per capita population of Muslims in the country. They had an open letter expressing their disappointment, expressing their frustration about how their representatives have failed them, have failed to represent their interests, and demanding a ceasefire immediately. In New York and in Philadelphia, just the other day, we've seen how folks of the Jewish faith, organizations like Jewish Voice for Peace, have actually conducted sit-ins and have actually allowed themselves to get arrested at the state capitol building and in other places, in the train stations, just to prove a point that we demand a ceasefire now and we're not going to be happy and we're not going to allow anybody to sweet talk us until we get what we are asking for. This is going to keep happening. What happens to us, what happens to our youth, every single cycle, every single couple of years, if we don't take action, if we don't finally band together as one ummah, as one body, as one group of masajid. Last week I was with the brothers in Albany, and I know there's brothers in Syracuse. We have to get together. We have to organize and act as one. If we can act as one, then we can start to do things and get our elected leaders to finally listen to us and do what we are hoping that they do, which is the right thing. This is just the beginning. We've had demonstrations last week in Utica. We have a demonstration today in Utica, 4 o'clock at City Hall. We had them in Syracuse last weekend. We also had them in Albany last weekend. This is not just something that you show up once and you go home. This is not something that you show up once and go home. We're going to show up every weekend with more people and louder and more insistent until we get our demands met. And the very first thing that we're asking for is a ceasefire and an end to the inflammatory and hateful rhetoric that our politicians are using that puts our young men and women at risk, whether it's on the street, women in hijabs that are getting attacked, or in the classrooms, young men being punished by their teachers for just demanding the right to exist and defend themselves. Every single one of us in this room, we have to be ready to sacrifice. We have to be ready to sacrifice. If you came to this country to hide away and to not be challenged, I'm sorry, but that time is over. That we have to be ready to sacrifice. Even someone who's a high school student such as myself back in the day, what little I could do, I was willing to take a zero. I was willing to maybe get suspended. That was a sacrifice that I was willing to pay. Maybe you as a young man or a young woman, if you're listening to this, if you're in the school system, maybe you have to get a zero. Maybe you have to get suspended. That's a price that we're willing to pay. Maybe one of you are going to have to lose your jobs. We've seen last week, there was a doctor, a Muslim doctor in a hospital in New York City. They had a Zionist coworker that pressured the hospital system to get them fired. They took their issue to CARE, and CARE sued, and they got, the doctor started working back in the hospital yesterday. If he had never spoken up, what would happen? We would allow other people to push us around. We cannot allow us to be pushed around any longer. It will require sacrifice. You might have to get fired. Every one of us has to come back together to support the people who are getting fired, to support the people who are speaking up. Now, every single person has a different situation. Some of us are citizens. Some of us are on green cards. Everybody has to take the amount of risk that makes sense for them. If you're a citizen of this country, then you have a higher responsibility. You have less to lose. You have protections that other people do not have. And so you need to be ready to sacrifice for your brothers and sisters. If you don't put yourself forward, if you don't speak out, if you don't attempt to stop what's going on, then your brothers and sisters are not going to be able to take the same risks that you are able to take. And one last statement is that everybody has to be very, very intelligent and know that there are people, we know this, we've seen this show before. The FBI and the law enforcement are going to send people, maybe they're here in the masjid right now. Ahlan wa sahlan, welcome, I hope you enjoy your stay today. That if someone comes up to you, tries to talk about violence, you know that this is not our way. You know that we are only doing things that are legal. We're only doing things that are peaceful, right? If someone comes up to you and tries to stir up your emotions and tries to ask you about things overseas and going overseas and doing this sort of thing, you can bet every dollar and every penny that you have in your wallet that this person's an informant, that this person is here to entrap you and to they're recording what you're saying and they're going to throw you in jail and try to make an example out of you, and they will put you in the news and on the Sentinel and they'll have, oh, suspected terrorist and all of this nonsense, and everyone will believe it. So you have to be smart and you have to understand everybody is staying within the rules of Islam. Everybody is staying within the rules of the law. But we are not going to be afraid, and we are not going to be silenced, and we are not going to be cowards any longer, and we are not going to let anybody push us around. These are things that we've seen happen over and over. My 34 years of life on this earth, I'm one of maybe the youngest in the room, but I've seen this already happen 3, 4, 5 times in cycles, every 5 years, every 6 years. It's got to stop. And inshallah ta'ala, this is the time that it stops. How does it stop? It stops by all of us coming together, all of us working together, all of us following in Islam and demonstrating to people the beauty that Islam has and the justice that Allah has. Don't be afraid by repression. Do not be afraid of repression, whether it's in the classroom, whether it's in your job, whether it's on the street, whether it's from the police or from the FBI or anybody. Do not be afraid of repression, because wallahi al-azim, the more repression that comes, it's only proof that we're winning. Wallahi al-azim, they would not bother trying to repress us if they weren't afraid of our power once we organize and act as a single body. So the more that they try to repress and equate us to terrorists and equate us to doing things that we know that we don't believe in, the more that we know that we are winning. So do not be distraught and do not be discouraged and do not lose heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, do not lose heart when you know that you're on the right side. We are on the right side and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our feet firm.